5 minutes. I always wonder what to do, you know, when... We are going to go over time. It was called the Funmobile. It was sleek, light yellow, and wow, could it move. It could carry lots of people and lots of stuff. And that's exactly what we did for 3 years during the summer months. And on its sides were banners that said, Funmobile. It took us to all parts of the city of Beverly, Massachusetts. It took us to Kentucky Fried Chicken or the pizza parlor for food to feed the staff during lunch. And it took us to the beaches of northeastern Massachusetts so we could relax after strenuous work. And I was the teenage director of this program and drove the Funmobile around town. Well, as probably most of us know, a 1967 Volkswagen van is not very sleek. And while it does move, it does not move well or very fast. It is sluggish and slow. The VW van was generally poorly made in spite of all the ads that talked about the superiority of German technology. No offense to anybody who has a German background. The van was awkward driving, the engine was in the rear, and it was air-cooled, which meant that if you ever needed heat, forget it. But I loved every moment. Now, I know I'm not alone in loving the VW van, those vehicles that are so slow, poorly made, and probably a safety hazard. And I wasn't a hippie either, so my fondness cannot be attributed to living in the 60s and 70s as a liberal revolutionary. I was, after all, just a good, conservative Baptist boy. And I also like speed. On a good day, I could get, this was not with a VW van, on a good day, I could get from Milton, Massachusetts, just south of Boston, where I grew up, through Boston, to Beverly on the North Shore, during rush hour, in 45 minutes. Yes, I was one of those Boston drivers. What is it that attracts us to the VW van or to the Beetle? Maybe because they are just plain fun. The Funmobile program was really an outreach program housed at First Church of Beverly, the Baptist Church at Beverly. Every morning in the summer, I would take my staff, which were volunteer teens who were younger than I was, to a relatively poor side of town in the VW van, which was our Funmobile. We would have crafts, books, projects, and snacks in our Funmobile. And we drove, say, to a deserted parking lot, set up all our stuff, and be with the children of the neighborhood for the entire morning. We learned how easy it was to love these children. And they loved having us there. We might have 10, 25, 30 children at a time. Every morning they looked forward to seeing us, and every day we were there, in essence, to be present to them. Our program served a number of purposes, but it was ultimately about the children and providing projects so the kids could have a creative, fun-filled summer. We were not there to deal with poverty or racial or class inequality. We could not make life circumstances change for anyone, but we could pick up a child, put her on our lap, and read to her. We could play baseball where everyone hit the ball no matter how long it took. And everyone got on base. It helped, of course, that my volunteers were in the field all of the time. We could create a play, act out characters in a book, whatever we wanted within the resources and creative minds that we all had. It was a joy to see the smiles and anticipation of the children as the Funmobile drove up to the lot. And it was a joy for me to see my volunteers interact with the kids. I was a witness to watching children supporting children. Now, I don't recall if my volunteers and I ever did any deep processing about our experiences or about poverty and the inequalities which surrounded us or about how privileged we were. I did learn a couple of things about myself, though. One, that I could be a leader, which scared me. And two, that girls were attracted to me, which also scared me. It was perhaps my first experience in having to establish boundaries. We were there not to proselytize. We were there to help kids find a little bit of happiness in their lives by playing and being there with them. I think happiness and fun go hand in hand. I even wonder if fun and happiness could be spiritual practices for us. A bit of a tangent, but speaking of happiness, in an article from last October printed by the Huffington Post, it declared Denmark, the happiest country in the world. And the happiest countries, according to this article, have in common a large GDP per capita, healthy life expectancy at birth, and lack of corruption in leadership. But also essential were three things over which individual citizens have a bit more control: a sense of social support, freedom to make life choices, and a culture of generosity. But why Denmark over other countries? Here are a few of the things that Danes do well. One, they support young parents. For example, while American women get an average of 10.3 weeks of maternity leave, Danes can get as much as 52 weeks of parental leave. Two, healthcare is understood to be a civil right. Danish citizens expect and receive healthcare as a basic human right. Three, gender equality is a priority. That is, feminism is a collective goal, not an individual pursuit. Four, biking is the norm. In fact, in Denmark's most populated and largest city, Copenhagen, bikes account for 50% of its residents' trips to school or work. Five, Danes feel a responsibility for one another. If the hours for which Danes did volunteer work were translated into economic output, volunteerism would be close to 10% of their GDP. And finally, Danish culture puts a positive spin on its harsh environment. Welcome to spring. The concept of hygge, defined as cultivated coziness or strong social connections, is often considered the means by which Danes overcome the dreary darkness that befalls the Nordic country over the winter. I love it. Cultivated coziness. For the Danes, it's about connections, community, and caring. I hope when we talk about our mission in relation to our space needs, we also talk about having fun and spreading happiness. I hope when we pledge our time, talent, and treasure to this congregation, we do so out of happiness, not out of obligation, guilt, or duty. I hope fun and happiness are key ingredients in anything we do here at this church. And I'm not saying this on a superficial level. I think fun touches the divine child in each one of us. Or perhaps it's the divine child that allows us to have fun. It is Palm Sunday. It was a day of celebration in biblical times. It is a day of celebration in traditional Christian churches to this day. I chose not to recite the typical scripture about Jesus entering Jerusalem, however. Rather, I wanted to mention a story where Jesus himself was having fun. The marriage at Cana, where he purportedly turned water into wine. Now, I don't happen to think that this story, though, is about a miracle. From a Gnostic perspective, this story is about transformation. When we are in touch with the divine child within, that depth of vulnerability, authenticity, and innocence that each one of us possesses, we exude a spirit of openness and joy. Now, some scholars contend that the marriage feast at Cana was actually a celebration of Jesus' marriage to Mary Magdalene. I doubt that such a contention will get very far among Orthodox Christians. But marriage is a significant metaphor throughout the Hebrew and Christian scriptures. And for Jesus at Cana, among friends and family, I like to think that the water, the wellspring of life, transformed community. On an individual level, to be in touch with our own source of life, the divine child within, is equally transformative. I will never know what effect, if any, the Funmobile and my team had on the children with whom we played those 3 summers. I will really never know what influence it had on my volunteers. And that's okay. But once in a while, you find out a little bit. At the district minister's retreat in New Hampshire this week, a friend, who's another minister from Vermont whom I have known for many years, a friend and I were talking at breakfast, and she said, "My daughter recently told me something about the significance of our work as ministers, even though we might never know about it ourselves. Remember when you were the minister of the week for RE Week on Star Island some years ago, and 3 boys were kicked off the island for having alcohol and drinking? It really affected all of the young people still on the island because they were all friends with the boys. My daughter was there, and she was so upset. And when the staff came around to talk with them, she got even more upset because they were just quoting the rules and defending their decision. But there was one person who came in later and made a huge difference because he let them talk openly about their hurt, about their sadness, about their pain. That person was you, and you were doing the work of ministry. Until 3 days ago, I never knew this. And I tell this not for my own self-aggrandizement. I tell it because it supports one of my beliefs, that when we are truly present to another, something significant occurs. I tell it because I suspect that the Funmobile, perhaps another metaphor, was hugely successful because it touched children's lives. So let's make sure that we continue having fun. That even in conflict and tension and stress, we foster joy. For then, we have entered the sacred. So let us sing together in celebration of life. Joy, O Goddess, hymn number 327, the beautiful, beautiful music by Beethoven. 327. Please stand as you are willing and able.